You have your copy of God's Word this evening. We will be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 21 to 34. And hear now the reading of God's holy and inerrant Word. As Mark writes, "And he said unto them, As a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And he said unto them, Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said unto them, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is grown or sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. When many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything." So let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, as we look at this text, Lord, we see many rich and true promises that you give to us. You tell us, Father, in this passage, Lord, the growth of your very kingdom, Lord, that started in the very first century as you sent out your disciples to go and make disciples of all of the earth, promising that it would start small, but your kingdom would grow all over the world. And we have seen that happen, Father. So, Lord, as we see this truth, Father, Lord, and we see all the things that are going on around us in the world, we see chaos, we see strife, we see, Lord, despair, Father, we can take truth in your word that in the midst of all of this, you have been building your church. And so, Lord, help us to take these truths to our hearts this evening. In your name we pray. Amen. And so how many of y'all are fans of Apple products? With a crowd this size, I'm sure many people in here are. I know that I am. I started getting the Apple products about 12 years ago, and whenever I started getting into them, I just never really looked back. I was once an Android fan, but when you get into Apple, you kind of stay with Apple. And it has become a very popular brand worldwide with the iPhone and the iPad and the MacBook. But with the dominance, it may come as a surprise to know how Apple began. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, his friend, began a journey in 1976 in Steve Jobs' garage. Steve Wozniak had interned at Hewlett-Packard, and he had this microcomputer design of his own that he presented to them, but they turned it down. And with that, they showed no interest. And so he came back, and him and Steve Jobs began this journey in their family garage back in 1976. And so he and Steve Jobs decided to work together on this. And what is amazing is this was the launch of Apple. It began in this small family garage, and it is amazing how something so small has now become worldwide. What began small in a family garage has now become global to all the world, which everyone now loves and enjoys. We don't realize the impact that small beginnings can have over time. Similarly, as we think about these small beginnings, Christianity began with a few small disciples who were commissioned to bring this gospel to the world. And that message has now impacted this whole world. And so I would say Jesus has now established his kingdom. Therefore, we can be sure that it will grow. And so as we begin to turn our attention to our text, we come to a set of parables given by Jesus on the kingdom. The parables are stories or illustrations given to us to reveal truths that Jesus seeks to convey about the message of the kingdom. You can think of these parables with statements such as, the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like. And then we receive the truth revealed in that parable by way of a story or illustration that Jesus tosses in to to speak or convey something true to us. And so in our text, we are giving illustrations through three parables to reveal the truths about this kingdom. And they are truths that we will see in our text this evening, and that is that the kingdom has come, the kingdom will grow, and the kingdom will be consummated. And first, let us look at this truth about the fact that the kingdom has come. Before we come to this parables about the kingdom, it is helpful to back up and see how Mark began his gospel. For we first come into encounter with the Gospel of Mark with this message from John the Baptist, who was a messenger sent to prepare the way for one who's coming, whose sandals he is not worthy to even untie. John was proclaiming a message of the coming of the long-awaited Messiah that the prophets of old had spoken to, who is Christ the Lord. And after John prepares the way in the opening chapters of Mark, then we come into Jesus. We launch right into the ministry of Jesus, and one of the first things you will notice that he proclaims in his opening message is that the time has now been fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. And so right away you see Jesus launching into the message of the kingdom. He is saying, it has come, it is at hand, it is at arm's length. Now the time is fulfilled, for the Messiah has come into the world, so repent and believe in his message. He announces that the time has now been fulfilled, for the king has now arrived in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and so we are to repent and believe in his message. And with the coming of Jesus, that kingdom had now arrived. The time is fulfilled. Light has come into the world through Jesus Christ. Which brings us now to our text, where Jesus is speaking in these parables about this kingdom. And we see in verse 21 where he says, Jesus says, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? How many of you, when you think about light, or you walk into a dark room, what do? You flip on the light, or you turn on the lamp. Or if you go outside into the dark, what do? You carry a flashlight with you. And so why do we do that? Well, we want the light to expose the darkness. We want to be able to see where we are going. And so we turn on the light. We bring a flashlight. In the same way, we use light to see where we are going. The rich truth conveyed in this parable of the coming of Jesus is that now light has come into the world through Jesus. Jesus is that light that has come into the world, and he is the lamp that is spoken of in this passage, which is not to be put under a blanket. It is not to be put under the bed. It is to be proclaimed to the whole world. R.C. Sproul conveys this well in his commentary as he says, Jesus is saying in this passage that I did not come here to be concealed forever. I came here as a light that is set on a lampstand, so that light that I bring may burst forth and manifest itself clearly to all who dwell in darkness. Jesus is that light that has now come into the world with his kingdom that he brought. As we see in John's gospel, that in him was life and he was the light of all men. And so Jesus is that lamp, that light that has come into the world for us to put our trust in him alone for our salvation. Because as verse 22 says in our text, that all secrets will one day come to the light. And so while we can, those of us who has ears to hear, let us hear this truth that Jesus is this light that has come into the world. He brought forth his kingdom. This light now has come in his person and work. And as Paul says in Galatians, that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, who was born under the woman, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So Jesus came in the fullness of time. He established his kingdom in his coming, and now we are commissioned to tell the whole world the light has now come in Jesus. And so as we begin to tell the world this good news, we also witness the impact that this has upon the world. As light shines into a dark room and expels the darkness, so too does the coming of Jesus have impact upon this dark world. As this gospel goes forth all over the world, as we now turn attention to the second part of this parable, Jesus lays out, we begin to see that not only has this kingdom arrived with the coming of Christ, but also that this kingdom will grow. We also witness the growth of this kingdom. You see this in verse 26, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Many of us are familiar here in South Georgia with farming. If you're like my family, I grew up on a farm, and so one thing you do with farming is you plow fields and you plant seeds within the field. My late great-grandfather, he would always come to the farm. He loved getting on the tractor. He loved plowing the fields. He loved planting seed. And he would always go back home because he was late in his age and rubbed down and rubbing alcohol, and always hear my grandmother say, "You're getting too old. I told you not to go out and do that." But he loved doing that. That was his life. But what we would plant is we would grow corn, we would grow green beans, we would grow brother beans, we would grow sugar cane. And whenever I was little, I loved chewing the sugar cane and getting all of its sweetness. If y'all know anything about sugar cane, it is really good. And it makes really good syrup for biscuits. But one thing that you do is you plant the seed into the ground, but what you don't see at first is its immediate growth. It takes time. It grows over time. It takes time for the seed to sprout up. And that is what Jesus is getting at here as he says this kingdom is like a man who goes and scatters seeds in the field. And then we see his explanation of this in verses 27 to 29, that the person who planted will sleep and rise night and day. The seeds are planted and spring forth. He knows not how. The seeds are planted into the ground, but at first they cannot see the growth. He sleeps and he rises night and day. And so as a farmer goes out and plants seeds into the field, he waters it, he plants it, but he does not know how it grows. It just grows over time. And so Jesus is using this parable to show us the growth of the kingdom. In the same way a farmer plants seed and it grows over time, so the kingdom starts in small form and it also grows over time. And we see more of this in verses 31 to 32. Where Jesus said that it is as a grain of mustard seed when sown in the ground, smallest of all seeds of the earth, yet when it grows, it becomes larger than all the plants in the field so that the bird can come and make its nest in the shade. This is showing the growth of the kingdom, which began in the first century. For if you remember, Jesus will tell you how he's going to build his church. We even see this right here in our text, that it is going to start small and it will grow and build over time. And in that growing and building, Jesus gives another promise, and we see this with Peter's confession in Matthew's gospel. If you notice, when Peter made his confession, what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock," the rock being Peter's confession of faith, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So not only do we see the kingdom is going to grow in this parable of the mustard seed, Jesus promised the very gates of hell is not going to stop its growth. He is going to build his church through the midst of all the storms of this life, and the very gates of hell is not going to stop that. And that we can take great comfort. The seed will become a tree over time as this kingdom advances in this dark world. It impacts the world with its message. So what started small with just a group of apostles who laid the foundation of the earth in the first, or laid the foundation of the church in the first century, we have seen this impact grow over time as Christ has been building his church. The seed has been coming a tree. And we see Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, he said that I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gives the growth. It is God who builds his church. And to show the remarkable growth that we have even witnessed, listen to this in Sam Storm's book as he explains this remarkable growth of the kingdom. He said by the year 350, it was estimated that nearly 32 million were Christians, which comprised approximately 53% of the entire population of the Roman Empire. By 2011, Christianity was by and far the largest religion in the world, with more than 2.1 billion adherents which is approximately 41% of the population, we have been seeing Jesus fulfill his promise that he has been building his church over time. Though there has been storms, though there has been many trials that the church has faced, we can think of the Protestant Reformation when it seemed that the light of the gospel was going to go forth, but we know that famous phrase, post tenebris lux, after darkness, light. What seemed that was going to be a destroyer of the church launched the Reformation. Jesus has been building his church through all of these trials and tribulations, and that we can take comfort. We know that along the way, we do face these battles, and they've been faced since the first century, but we see the remarkable impact of the growth of the church, and we have hope in that. In the midst of all of these battles and tribulations and the world opposing the church has still been protected. The gates of hell has not prevailed against it. As Jesus promised that he will build it, the seed does become the tree. With this promise of the growth of the kingdom, we also can be sure that it will one day be consummated as well. As we saw with the first coming of Christ, he brought the kingdom. He established the kingdom. He said that the kingdom has come. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus is the light that has come into the world, the lamp that is not to be hidden. And with the first arrival of him and bringing the establishment of the kingdom, now we are in commission proclaiming this gospel to the world. We can be sure that it will also be one day consummated. And we see this really in verse 29. It says, when the grain is ripe, at once he puts forth his sickle, for the time of the harvest has come. We see a reference here to this harvest when the time is ripe. This harvest of the kingdom, which is a pointer to really the end of the age and the consummation of this kingdom. A time is set when the harvest is ripe and the consummation will come, and nothing can stop that from happening. And so, brothers and sisters, we can take comfort in the good news that though we face trials, we face tribulations in this life, and we see it now more than ever in our lifetimes with a lot of chaos going on, but we have hope that the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. We have hope in the promise of Jesus. We see when times has been rough throughout the history of the church, but we see the gates of hell has not stopped his church. We can take comfort in that. The enemy has brought many fierce attacks, but Jesus has protected his church. Nothing can stop its growth. And he will consummate his kingdom when the time has come and the fullness of time comes, when all the elect are brought in. We see when the harvest is ripe, he will return for his church. As we read in Revelation 14, when it says, then I looked and behold a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man. He had a golden crown in his hand and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. The harvest of the earth is fully ripe, and then Jesus will return for his church. It will be consummated. The kingdom has been established, it has been growing, and it will one day consummate when Jesus returns for his bride and we enter into the glories of the joys of the Lord forever. And so what are we really to make of all of this? Well, it should give us great confidence in the power of the gospel and should fill us with great joy that since the time of the first century when Jesus established his kingdom, we have been seeing where he has been keeping his promise. The gates of hell has not prevailed at times, though it seemed like it was going to. Nothing has stopped its growth. We have been seeing its growth. We've seen its impact upon the world, and we can take hope in that. He has been building his church. And until his returns, we also know until he returns, he still has his sheep out there, because until all of the elect are brought in, we still have a great commission. We still have a commission to go and tell the world, light has come into the darkness, and there will come a judgment one day. Come into the light. We have that hope, and we know he will not return until all of his people are gathered in. And so we are commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, because he gave us this commission. And with the coming of the kingdom, when he established that, he gave his apostles this statement that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so, though we do have many battles in this world against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we do await eagerly the final consummation, where Paul says that that perishable will put on the imperishable, and the mortal will put on immortality, and death will finally be swallowed up in victory, he also tells us in that same chapter of 1 Corinthians that we can know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so you can be sure that our labor is not in vain. Jesus has brought his kingdom. He has established it. He is light to the whole world. And that harvest will one day come. But until that time, our labor is not in vain. It may look like vanity at times, but it is not in vain, because we have the hope set before us. And so as we come to a close, I just want you to be encouraged that Jesus, in his first coming, he brought the kingdom. He established it. He is the light of the world that has come and exposes the darkness. And though we saw the small beginnings with a few disciples at first, we have seen that kingdom growing like a mustard seed that was planted into the field. It has been springing forth and it has been growing, and the gates of hell has not prevailed against it. Through these trials and tribulations, Jesus has been with his church all the way, and we can know he will continue to be with us until the consummation when he returns again, when the kingdom of this world will finally become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. And so let us pray. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, we come before you. We know in your first coming, we see the rich truth. You have brought the kingdom, for you said the time has been fulfilled. What all the prophets of old has spoke, you fulfilled with your first coming, and you established this kingdom, and you commissioned us to repent and believe in the gospel that you laid forth. And we have been see throughout church history, throughout all the world, that you have been fulfilling your promise. The gates of hell has not been prevailing against the church. And Lord, help us to continue to take comfort in that, to know that our labor is not in vain, and until you return, that you still have your sheep out there. Let us take this truth to our heart. In your name we pray. Amen.